Praise the Lord, this is Pastor Tony Alamo, and we're reading through the Bible. We're in 1 Kings chapter 12, and there are 33 verses in this chapter, and we're going to do some translation and commentary. And then we're on part 6 of receiving the Holy Spirit. We have a couple of letters, one from India, another from Africa. We are a worldwide work. God is working worldwide, put together the one body of Christ. We may be saved at different times, and we may be saved in different places. However, we are still one. God thinks of everything in ones. He didn't create more than one man. That's all it was, and he took woman out of man, and there are there's one Adam, and then there is the one man, and then there's the second man, and the second man is also the last man. So either we're in Adam or we're in the body, which is Christ. Christ has one body, and there's many members, but God knows the beginning or the ending at the very same time as the beginning, and so therefore, to him, we are all one. No matter what, if we were saved hundreds of years ago, or just a few hours ago, or a few minutes ago, if we're going to be in the body, we must be in the spirit and in the body. So, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to pour out the outward manifestation, the power upon us, to be able to not only preach this message and to anoint these words, but for us to be able to understand them, to open up your mind so that you can understand the Bible, the Word of God, the life, the eternal life of God. Because it's by our understanding and by our performance of what we understand is what we'll get credit for in eternity. We're all going to stand judgment. We're not to have our own judgment, but, however, we are to judge everything by God's wisdom and understanding, by his understanding. So we're able to judge all things, the Bible tells us, by God's word. And some people have a warped idea or opinion of what God's word is, but there's only one interpretation of the word of God, and that's exactly the way that the Lord gave it to his prophets and apostles. So, Father, we ask that you give everyone, you open up their minds, give them the power, the outward anointing, to receive more life into their inward parts. Anoint us here as we read these letters and as we read the scriptures. Anoint the word, because it is written that the letter of your word kills, as there's so many people that only know the word by the letter, but the spirit brings forth life. And Lord, we ask that you anoint the sixth part of receiving the Holy Spirit and open up the understanding of all those that are hearing it, so that they'll be able to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, so they'll be able to be endued with your power, the power of the Holy Spirit, in order to not only know the scriptures, but to be able to produce souls, to be able to be in the ministry, and let your spirit create something that has already been created, because the body of Christ was crucified, and all of those that will be saved have already been known by you from even before the foundation of the world. So we pray that the ones that are supposed to be in the body of Christ, that will be gathered together in one body today, will be partially produced as one in Christ this day, and we're not worried about it because we know that it's already happened. Lord, we ask all these things, and give us more and more life and power, strength in your word, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now where's the first letter from?
Andhra Pradesh, India.
All right, let's go ahead with it.
Dear beloved brother Tony Alamo, greetings to you in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your great book, The Messiah, as well as your newsletters. I received with great joy. I was very much encouraged by your sound doctrine, which has truly inspired me. So far, we are involved in the church ministry for long years. We are carrying the gospel through gospel literature distribution in our area, as well as tribal remote areas of West Godavari District. We distributed your literature to the needed areas where there is no gospel, so that many people have come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. Our team is reaching the villages, conducting street gospel preaching, distributing literature, conducting youth camps, as well as children's camps in tribal areas. I need your prayer support now and forever. I praise God for you. God has revealed His word for the blessing of perishing souls worldwide. I am sharing my burden to the youth to know more about the scriptures. Please send some more Christian books and Telugu language Bibles. May the Lord shine His face on you. Thank you and God bless. In His service, Pastor M.W.D. from Andhra Pradesh, India.
People ask how we're blessed. It just blesses every one of our souls here that are in the one body of Christ to see how God is moving as like one person or part of the body of Christ is moving to establish the kingdom of God here on this earth. God gives us the messages, the people in this church distribute the messages and help typing the messages and make it to where I'm legally blind. And that's why I do the messages on tape, it's typed up, and I go quite a bit in advance, so I can't really remember everything that I've said, but my wife Sharon reads these messages and I make commentary as we go along. And then we see that all of us are cooperating in one spirit, and we get the gospel out, send out this literature and these tapes and the Messiah book all over the world, all in different languages, and by doing so we see God giving the increase. Amen. It's just wonderful to see people like this that are out there. They're part of the body. We're all one. Okay, it doesn't make any difference what part of the world we're in. Or when we got, we're born of the Spirit, we're still all one body. We're not divided. And we cannot be divided or else we're not of the body. All right? And so I'm going to be bringing messages on the body, which will involve me telling you of these things. And so I'm giving you a little preempt on that at this moment. And hopefully you'll receive that. All right? So let's, now where's the next letter from?
From Musoma, Tanzania, Africa.
All right, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear brethren, greetings in the most wonderful name above all names, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks unto you so much for sending me Alamo's taped messages. Brethren, in the Lord's chariot, I would be very much happy if my name will appear in your permanent mailing list. Believe me, you. Your messages are inspiring and changing lives, not only in your state, but also in my country, Tanzania. It is with vivid conscience, and it is also interesting to let you know that Tanzania is dominated by Muslim religion, but your messages have helped us a great deal to net Christ great fish. It's so much surprising to see them coming for anything by Tony Alamo. It will be very much encouraging and advantageous if they will be hearing more of Alamo's taped messages from the book of Genesis to Revelation and Bible readings, which I believe are most available, as well as videotapes, which can be sent when a need can be. May our Lord grant you His peace and blessings for your good work. We appreciate. Yours in the Lord's service, Evangelist O.E.O. from Musoma, Tanzania, Africa.
Well, you certainly are an evangelist in the Lord, and it looks like you're also a pastor. You're leading people to the Lord. You're part of the body of Christ, and what a wonderful, this is wonderful news. It's a refreshment from afar. To hear of all the people. Well, you see the world so darkened with sinful people. That's what the Lord has called us to do, is to shine the light of the gospel into their hearts, into their minds, into their spirits, their souls, and let them be conscious of the things that the Lord has done, so that they'll want to let the light of the gospel shine into their windows, their eyes, if they can see. And even if they can't see, we're saved, and we've been given faith by hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen.
Amen.
The word is spirit, and it's life, and it's the power of God that created the entire universe. God sent forth his word. He said, let there be light. And that word, coming from the uncreated God, immediately formed the world. And when he said, let there be stars, let there be a moon, a sun, it was created by his fantastic, incredible, unexplainable, hard to explain word. But we were created by his word. Amen?
Amen.
The body of Christ is put together, and the spirit, all by Christ, the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and still is God, and came to this world and became flesh, and lived among us, so that we were able to see God. All those that can see the Son and know that the Son is God and the manifestation of God, can see God if you accept him. And now a lot of people know that he is God, and a lot of people, actually all of us in the world, whether good or evil, somehow have a seventh sense in us that we know that there's a creator, because the things that we see, we know that they didn't just come into this into being by some explosion. That's just ridiculous for anybody to believe such a thing as that. But we know that all things, that there is a God. The Bible tells us that in the first chapter of Romans. And therefore, because of the fact that people know there is also, when we're children, we know when we sin first. We know when we're lying, because you're not telling the truth, and there's a conviction that comes over a person's conscience when they lie or when they steal. They know they're doing something wrong. So there is that seventh sense in a person that knows that there is somebody that's causing our conscience to feel guilty. There is a God. And so therefore, everyone is unexcusable, that excuse God as being not there, or say such things as that. Okay, so thank you very much for reading these letters. And Sister Shannon, come forward, and let's begin with the 12th chapter of 1 Kings. Go ahead.
The Northern Tribes Revolting, King James Version, verse 1.
Okay, there's the Northern Tribes, and then there are the what tribes?
Southern.
The Southern Tribes. One is Judah, the others is Israel. Okay, then go ahead.
And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. Verse 2. And it came to pass, when Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who was yet in Egypt, heard of it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt. Verse 3. That they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, verse 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us, lighter, and we will serve thee. Verse 5. And he said unto them, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. Verse 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father, while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? Verse 7. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. Verse 9. And he said unto them, What counsel give ye that we may give, that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? Verse 10. And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins.
See, that's the youth of the nation, that everybody's trying to make it look as though youth is something, and that the aged, that there's no wisdom in the aged. And that's why you see everything as crazy as it is today. The youth know very little. The aged, there's wisdom in the aged, the Bible tells us. And this was a very wrong thing for these young, the language you use today, these young punks, to have given to this man, because it's his ruination. Don't listen to punks. Listen to the Lord, the rock of ages. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 11. And now, whereas my father did lade you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.
Oh, this is the wrong thing to tell people. Okay, then what?
Verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, saying, Come to me again the third day. Verse 13. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. Translation, verse 1 through 13. The northern tribes revolting. Rehoboam went to Shechem, where all Israel had gathered together to make him king. Verse 2. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of Solomon's death, he returned from Egypt, for he had fled to Egypt to escape King Solomon. Verse 3. The leaders of Israel sent for Jeroboam, and the whole assembly of Israel went to speak with Rehoboam. Verse 4, quote, Your father was a hard master, they said. Lighten the harsh labor demands and heavy taxes that your father imposed on us. Then we will be your loyal subjects, unquote. Verse 5, Rehoboam replied, quote, Give me 3 days to think this over, then come back for my answer, unquote. So the people went away. Verse 6. Then King Rehoboam went to discuss the matter with the older men.
It sort of reminds you of today, as you know, like where President Bush is saying, I'm a man of war. I'm going to just lay it thick on every other nation in the world. I'm going to really just give you. This is really wrong, Mr. Bush. Amen.
Amen.
You must obey the age, the rock of ages, the one who tells you not to use carnal weapons. All right. Or all these people that just are sticking their chest out and beating on their chest and say, we're warriors. No, God is like a mighty warrior and a terrorist. We must obey the Lord, because he's the one that we have to eventually face on Judgment Day. And you're operating under probably not your own wisdom, but the wisdom of Satan. And Satan doesn't have any wisdom at all. All power and all wisdom belongs to Christ. And Christ is the Word of God. So you should consult the wisdom of the Rock of Ages, and then start talking, and then start telling people what you're going to do. And when you do tell people what you're going to do, let it be what the Lord tells you to do. He said, feed your enemies if they hunger, and clothe them. Because, you know, your enemies, even a rat, if you start bombing them or start trying to come against them with a pitchfork or something, they're going to attack you if they're cornered. And what you're trying to do here is corner everybody in the world and make them believe in this dictatorship of Rome, which is called what you call democracy. But in reality, it is a dictatorship. It's wanting everyone to unite under Roman canon law, which again they call democracy, but it's not going to work. The Bible tells you that you're going to be destroyed, all of you people that think that way, and that the only kingdom that's going to stand is the kingdom of God. So it's best that you think you're having fun now. so did the people of the world during the days of Noah, but it wasn't fun when they were scratching and trying to get into the one door which was into Noah's Ark. And there's only one door into the kingdom of God, and you must comply with all of God's rules and regulations in order to get in that door. Otherwise, the door is going to be slammed in your face. And I'm not your enemy by telling you this. Of course, you know, you've got this big, proud idea of taking over the world and ruling the world according to the satanic regime of Satan. And it's not going to work. Satan's works were all destroyed by the Lord Jesus Christ many years ago. And so, you know, you can see the evidence of what happened to people by disobeying what the Lord said. You can see it throughout the Bible. And you can see that the things that the Lord said would be happening in these last days, that they're happening. And so you're going to shake your fist and you're going to pound people into believing your way? No, that's not going to happen. I see that you've got like barricades around the White House. This has never happened before. You know that at least half or more of the people in the world are not going for your garbage, because you're so worried that they're going to retaliate back with atomic bombs and hexagon bombs and hydrogen bombs and germ warfare, chemical warfare, and all these things. And why are they wanting to retaliate? Because they don't believe you. And they don't believe this regime of Satan. So, you know, if you want to have people respect you and love you and want to do things for you and to be your subjects, then everyone respects God, and everyone's going to kneel down before him, and everyone's going to proclaim him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So why don't you do things his way? You make yourself to be a moron by doing things your way or Satan's way. You haven't got a brain in your head to do things the way Satan says for you to do them. Do you think that God has changed or that God is dead? God is not dead. He's very much alive. Everything that he said is happening, is happening today. So, you know, I'm saying I'm not against you. Your soul, I'm for your soul getting saved. Now, get on your knees and repent and say, well, I can't do that because you can't make any decisions of your own. You're taking orders from the Vatican. Well, you have to choose between God and the Vatican, and it looks as though, so far, you've already chosen to do things according to the Vatican, which is controlled by Satan. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. My doctrine is very true, and you see that people are accepting it. And I'm sure that you don't get the kind of mail I do. You know, I've been around Elvis Presley, I've been around the Beatles, I've been around phenomenal people, Don King, Mike Tyson, people that are number one in the world. And they don't get the kind of mail I do. They don't get the kind of mail that I do. You can listen to these tapes and hear these letters. You can see them in my newsletters. And people respect me, and they believe me. But Mr. Bush, you know, I know it would be embarrassing for you to recant. I know you're not a Christian. You're saying that for political reasons. And Satan is having you say that for so that people begin disrespecting Christianity. Because no one, all the countries are, and the people in this United States, the sinners are saying, we hate Christianity because they're like Mr. Bush, because they declare war, and they're doing all these ungodly things that you're doing. So don't say you're a Christian, because you're causing, because this will really make God angry at you, and you know, your good health and your good fortune and all these different things are not going to last forever. It's going to come to an end, and it's going to come swiftly, and it's going to come when you least expect it. You know you're doing wrong, or you wouldn't have barricaded. I hear that there's 6 or 12 blocks all the way around the White House that people can't even come in and see the White House anymore because there's so much security. You wouldn't have to worry about such a thing as this if you were righteous before the Lord. All right, then let's continue on.
Verse 6, then King Rehoboam went to discuss the matter with the older men who had counseled his father Solomon. Quote, what is your advice, he asked. How should I answer these people, unquote. Verse 7, the older counselors replied.
Now listen to this, Mr. Bush, and all you other people that think you're leaders, but the Lord calls you blind leaders that are leading the blind into a ditch. All of you are going to be there, right in hell. The lake of fire. Now listen to the counsel of the old man. Go ahead.
Quote, if you are willing to serve the people today and give them a favorable answer, they will always be your loyal subjects.
Yeah, but don't give them a favorable answer according to what they want. There's one group of people want to be homosexuals, they want to be able to marry. You can't do that. You have to answer according to the word of God in order for God, for the massive people to respect you. Because God hates homosexuality, and so do most of the people in the world. So don't say that homosexuals are all right because they give you a lot of money so that you can campaign. After all, Mr. Bush, this is your last 4 years in office, and you're not going to get to come back as president again. You might as well put God's cards on the table. All right? Amen?
Amen.
Let's be wise. And then what else?
Verse 8, but Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and instead asked the opinion of the young men who had grown up with him and who were now his advisors.
This is supposed to be New Age, this one world order, the new world order. There's nothing new about this. The Lord told about this back in the Old Testament, that all these things would be happening in the last days. Tells about it in the book of Ezekiel, how that all the nations will rise up against Israel. Everything is known. Why don't you receive it? Have you gone, been in darkness so long that you can't receive even any shred of light? Okay, then what?
Verse 9, quote, what is your advice? He asked them. How should I answer these people who want me to lighten the burdens imposed by my father?
He's asking the youth. No, go to the Rock of Ages, the aged one, the one that's been from before the foundations of the world, the actual one who is uncreated, the one that was in the beginning, and the one that shall be forever, forevermore. Okay, then what?
Verse 10, the young man replied, quote, this is what you should tell those complainers. My little finger is thicker than my father's waist. If you think he was hard on you, just wait and see what I'll be like! Exclamation mark.
This sounds like Mr. Bush. There's no evidence that there was any weapons of mass destruction. I looked up his website, and he says, you're the only one that has the weapons of mass destruction. You're beating your chest and saying, we're the mightiest army in the world. We've got A-bombs, we've got all kinds of different weapons. We got more tanks and aircraft and everything. You're the one that has the weapons of mass destruction. Even as much as the media has tried to wipe this man's testimony out, that he is a nudnik and he's crazy and he's a monster, what he said was true. We're the only ones that have a massive amounts of destructive weapons. All right? So, you know, some people may be stupid enough to believe your these satanic things that are coming out of your mouth, but there's a lot of us out here that don't believe that garbage. All right, then what else? Even this man that you've imprisoned and torn down has got more sense than you do. He says, you're the only ones that have massive destruction here in the United States. And what could they do when you were bombing innocent civilians? They could just stand there and watch because they had nothing to retaliate with. You were doing it as a lie. You actually even admitted it on the news. And then he says, so, and then immediately after you started teeing off on the golf course. Well, okay, four. Yeah, you're really a lame brain. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. Yes, my father was harsh on you, but I'll be even harsher, exclamation mark. My father used whips on you, but I'll use scorpions, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 12. 3 days later, Jeroboam and all the people returned to hear Rehoboam's decision, just as the king had requested. Verse 13. But Rehoboam spoke harshly to them, for he rejected the advice of the older counselors. King James Version, verse 14. And spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, My father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions.
Oh, you will? Well, I won't, or I don't know anybody else that would serve somebody like that with their heart, soul, mind, and strength. If God was that way, I wouldn't serve him either. God sends people to hell like that. All right? If I were God, I'd do the same thing. And then people say, well, God says he loves you, and then he sends you to hell. He loves those that love him and keep his commandments, that fear him and keep his commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. But if you don't fear him at all to do what he says, and if you just keep persecuting people for nothing at all, and making up lies so that you can take over the world for Satan, well, God is going to send your soul to hell. He loves you enough to have died for you, but you didn't receive his love. He died so that your former sins could be taken away, but he requires that you repent. He loves you enough to where he died, that's having mercy on you, but you don't receive his mercy. You're like this man here who's going to just keep going in your satanic, under the dictations of Satan. And so, I mean, you're sending your own soul to hell. God loved you, but you didn't love him. You didn't love his ways. You loved to do the works of Satan. Okay, then what?
Verse 15. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for the cause was from the Lord, that he might perform his saying which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Verse 16. So when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. Verse 17. But as for the children of Israel which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Translation, verse 14 through 17. And follow the counsel of his younger advisors. He told the people, quote, My father was harsh on you, but I'll be even harsher, exclamation mark. My father used whips on you, but I'll use scorpions, exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 15. So the king paid no attention.
As though the people were evil. That's what the media does in the government. This satanic Roman government, they make up stories about people that they're Frankensteins, they're like Hitler's, when in reality they're doing the same thing that Hitler did. They are actually members of the Fourth Reich. Alright, and then what?
Verse 15.
They always give a reason why they should bomb different countries, but they don't tell you the real reason. The real reason is because the Bible says that Satan would, through Rome, this evil Roman Empire would revive and begin ruling the whole world again just before Jesus comes back to earth again. But then the Rock of Ages, the stone of stumbling, is going to come and smash them to pieces. And so Mr. Bush and all you people that are in that regime that are following this foolish advice of Satan, you should repent, because Jesus, the Rock of Ages, is going to come and smash your kingdom to powder. And then when you say, well, I want to repent now, when you see him coming in the clouds of glory, and it'll be too late then. We're going to be judged, every one of us, by the ways that we performed in this life, by the things that we've done, by the mission we've carried out in this world. If you've carried out the mission for Satan, you're going to be judged with Satan and sent to the same place that Satan is going. So it's time to repent, fellas, girls and boys. The Lord's coming back to earth again. There is a voice in the land, and you better listen to it, because the things I'm saying to you are not my opinions, not my ideas or philosophies, but I'm telling you exactly what the Word of God says, and what you're doing is exactly what the Bible said Satan would be doing in the last days. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 15, so the king paid no attention to the people's demands. This turn of events was the will of the Lord, for it fulfilled the Lord's message to Jeroboam, son of Nebat, through the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh.
Right, and don't think that this isn't what you're doing, not the will of the Lord. You're doing exactly what the Lord said you would be doing in the last days. He knew all about you. You're not hiding from him. You think you're getting by with murder because God hasn't chastened you yet or destroyed you yet. But you're doing exactly, you're so far in darkness that you think that God, because he hasn't destroyed you, that he's not around anymore. If your spiritual eyes could open up, you'd see all the demons that you're possessed with, and you'd be able to see the angels of the Lord, and you'd be able to see God in heaven laughing at you. Because you've chosen to do the foolish thing, the stupid, the satanic thing. You've chosen to follow the loser, the one that you want to spend eternity with. It's so foolish, so utterly foolish. It's ridiculous to me to have to explain these things to you, because even the common person on the street, a lot of them know these things, and they know that Jesus is coming back to earth again soon. What's the matter with you? You're living in that decrepit White House that's full of rats. You can't even get rid of them, and you've got yourself bunkered in over there. You are without a doubt know that you're doing evil. Otherwise, why don't you just come out and say that you're a Catholic? Why don't you come out and say what you are? It's because you're ashamed of who you are. Why don't you say that you are taking orders from the Vatican like you are? It's because you're ashamed to do that. I talked to Ronald Reagan, and he stated that he can't do anything, that he's just a puppet of the Vatican. I told him to stop Raymond A. Donovan from trying to charge us and Christians to have to pay. When we win a soul, they said that we have to put him on salary. I said, this is it's totally unscriptural, and it's totally un-American, and it's totally... not common sense. I said, after we're supporting people and building homes for them, and we won them to the Lord, got them filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're saying that we have to write checks out to these people every week? This is what Raymond A. Donovan said. And I says, look, Mr. Reagan, either do what I'm telling you, what the Bible says, or else I'm going to have to expose you as being part of the Antichrist regime. And the Secret Service people came and told me, we've been following you for years now, ever since the Reagan regime. And, I mean, we liked Ronald Reagan. I knew his mother. His mother used to visit me when I was in the hospital with my eye problems. And she used to come to me every day and tell me that that I reminded her very much of her son. And I didn't know who her son was, didn't know anything about him. I was only 21 years old, 20 years old at the time. But, my God, you met Raymond A. Donovan at the airport. He was in Europe or someplace, and you put your arms around him, signaling to me that this is you're with him rather than with common sense, decency, and the rules and regulations of the Lord's. So I did have to put out some literature on you. And, you know, the one world government, what they call the New World Order, exalts you to the stars, and they've made a very good grave for you. But where is your soul, Mr. Reagan? Where is your eternal, everlasting soul? And where are the rest of the bunch that believe the same way that you did? Let's continue on.
Verse 16. When all Israel realized that the king had rejected their request, they shouted, quote, down with David and his dynasty, exclamation mark.
So, right there. Now the whole world is saying to you, down with America, down with the United States. The Roman Empire has given all of our industry to Japan, to China, to Taiwan, all these different countries. Germany and Japan were the ones that we were actually at war with, that they, you caused us to be at war with in World War II. And now you're saying, everybody in the world is saying, down with the United States, because they can tell that you have the same philosophy as this evil king. And that's what everybody's screaming at you for, and that's why you've got yourself barricaded in. You know you're doing evil. Cotton picker. Then what else?
We have no share in Jesse's son! ! Let's go home, Israel! ! Look out for your own house, O David! !
Yeah, watch your back, baby. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what you, that's why the Pope is riding around in a Pope mobile, bulletproof glass. You don't see me doing that, do you?
No.
No? Because I know I'm not doing anything wrong. God protects me. And if I should go out, praise the Lord, you do me a favor. He was afraid to die because he knew where he's going. This wretched old man couldn't look at anything other than his shoes. Had a hole in his neck that he had to breathe out of, and tubes down his throat that he had to be fed with. I don't think he was very much blessed. And I don't think he's anywhere but the pit of hell right now. Okay, then what?
So the people of Israel returned home, verse 17. But Rehoboam continued to rule over the Israelites who lived in the towns of Judah. King James Version, verse 18. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died. Therefore King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem.
My. Well, go ahead, translation.
Translation, verse 18. King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of the labor force, to restore order.
See, the labor department, you know, Raymond A. Donovan. Okay, going to charge us to win souls. Why don't you charge people to destroy souls? You make more money that way, right? And what else?
King Rehoboam sent Adoniram, who was in charge of the labor force, to restore order, but all Israel stoned him to death. When this news reached King Rehoboam, he quickly jumped into his chariot and fled to Jerusalem. King James Version, verse 19.
Right, and you see Bush fleeing also. He's got himself barricaded in. Amen?
Amen.
What kind of a life is that, you know, to be so wicked that you don't have any peace? Peace of mind. Well, you say he looks very comfortable on television. Yeah, but he's totally sandwiched in with a bunch of other evil people around him. But what he doesn't realize is evil people kill evil people as well as the good people. Go ahead.
Verse 19. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Verse 20. And it came to pass, when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation, and made him king over all Israel. There was none that followed the house of David, but the tribe of Judah only. Verse 21.
So what are you the king? What are you king of, Mr. Bush? And what is the Vatican the king over? Not, people don't believe you. You're finished. You're done. You're over with, all right? Nobody's going for your garbage. The common person on the street, the newspaper boy, knows more than you do, is wiser than to receive your evil thinking. Then what else?
Verse 21. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled all the house of Judah with the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men, which were warriors, to fight against the house of Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. Verse 22. But the word of God came unto Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, Verse 23. Speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and unto all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and say to the remnant of the people, saying, Verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, ye shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house. For this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord, and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord.
and smart thing to do is to do what the Lord says. All right.
Okay, translation, verse 19 through 24. The northern tribes of Israel have refused to be ruled by a descendant of David to this day. Verse 20. When the people of Israel learned of Jeroboam's return from Egypt, they called an assembly and made him king over all Israel. So only the tribe of Judah remained loyal to the family of David. Shemaiah's prophecy, verse 21. When Rehoboam arrived at Jerusalem, he mobilized the armies of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 select troops, to fight against the army of Israel and to restore the kingdom to himself. Verse 22. But God said to Shemaiah, the man of God, verse 23, quote, say to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the people of Judah and Benjamin, verse 24, quote, this is what the Lord says. Do not fight against your relatives, the Israelites. Go back home, for what has happened is my doing, exclamation mark, unquote. So they obeyed the message of the Lord and went home as the Lord had commanded. King James Version, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. Verse 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. Verse 27. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Verse 28. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 29. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. Verse 30. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Verse 31. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Verse 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast.
That's what the people are doing today. They're making judges that are not, they don't rule according to law. They're making people that are false religion as being the real religion. And what's going to happen to this bunch of idiots, this bunch of evil people? What will God do to them? Is he going to let them just run on for a long time? You may run on for a long time, but God Almighty's going to cut you down. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to cut you down just as he has in the past to all other evil people. Then go ahead.
Verse 32. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own hand, heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. Translation, verse 25 through 33. Jeroboam makes gold calves. Jeroboam built up the city of Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and it became his capital. Later he went and built up the town of Peniel. Verse 26. Jeroboam thought to himself, quote, unless I'm careful, the kingdom will return to the dynasty of David. Verse 27. When they go to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord, they will again give their allegiance to King Rehoboam of Judah. They will kill me and make him their king instead. Unquote.
Well, that's good. Yeah, Rehoboam is king. Amen?
Amen.
Jerry was no good. Jeroboam. Okay. Look at that one.
So on the advice of his counselors, the king made two gold calves. He said to the people, quote, it is too much trouble for you to worship in Jerusalem. O Israel, these are the gods who brought you out of Egypt! Exclamation mark, unquote.
Yeah, it's like people today are trying to make shortcuts. You know, let's all just get into one, and then we'll have peace into one body. But, which is against what the Lord says. He said, we must be separate and holy, and a lot of people have gone for it, and this is the great falling away of the church. And this is where Satan is sitting down inside, spiritually inside of the temple of God, which is the each is the body of Christ. So it's no longer the body of Christ, it's the temple or the body of Satan. Now there's just a few people that are going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, a few million. But billions will be in hell. God said that he's enlarging hell because people are wanting convenience rather than, you know, walking, going all the way to Jerusalem. He's going to make a shortcut for them. All right, then what?
Verse 29. He placed these calf idols at the southern and northern ends of Israel, in Bethel and in Dan.
Yeah, he's making these, and say, this is the ones that brought you out of Egypt, amen? Okay, then what?
Verse 30, this became a great sin.
Oh my God, yes. Then what?
For the people worshiped them, traveling even as far as Dan. Verse 31, Jeroboam built shrines at the pagan high places and ordained priests from the rank and file of the people, those who were not from the priestly tribe of the Levites. Verse 32, Jeroboam also instituted a religious festival in Bethel, held on a day in mid-autumn, similar to the annual Feast of Shelters in Judah. There at Bethel, he himself offered sacrifices to the calves he had made, and it was at Bethel that he appointed priests for the pagan shrines he had made. Verse 33. So on the appointed day in mid-autumn, a day that he himself had designated, Jeroboam offered sacrifices on the altar at Bethel. He instituted a religious festival for Israel, and he went up to the altar to burn incense.
All right, so that was the 33 verses of chapter 12, 1 Kings, and now we've got some commentary.
12, verse 1. Rehoboam was made king at Shechem about 35 miles north of Jerusalem. It would have been normal to anoint the new king in Jerusalem, the capital city, but Rehoboam saw trouble brewing with Jeroboam and went north to try to maintain good relationships with the northern tribes. He probably chose Shechem because of the fact that it was an ancient location for making covenants. That you can find in Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. When the kingdom divided, Shechem became the capital of the northern kingdom for a short time. 12, verse 25. 12, verse 6 through 14. Rehoboam asked for advice, but he didn't carefully evaluate what he was told. If he would have realized that the advice offered by the elders was wiser than that of his peers. To evaluate advice, ask if it is realistic, workable, and consistent with the Lord's principles.
That's the Lord's word. Okay, then what?
Determine if the results of following the advice will be fair to the people. Make improvements for the people.
And see, God tells you to treat people as you would like to be treated. And so he did the exact opposite. He wouldn't have liked to have been treated with scorpions, amen?
Amen.
So he was defying, and people that are in rule have to treat people or prefer people before themselves, and to be unto people as they would like to be treated. But when you don't do that, the people will turn against you. It doesn't make any difference. If you're a king, you're still a human being. You're just a human. And a human that is going against what God says. That's why in order to have power, we must do what God says, because even we'll have, if we do that, we'll even have power with the people. Amen?
Amen.
You're just kicking against yourself. You're a porcupine and a cactus, and you're kicking against yourself. Okay, you've got to treat God and mankind as God commands you to. He says, first, you got to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means you're going to do everything he says. And then you've got to, and it's the second commandment is very much like the first. You've got to treat people that God created the way that you'd like to. You have to prefer them before yourself. And any time that you do, you're going to make enemies. And you're not going to have a good life. And nobody's going to want to help you. So it's for your own good that God tells you these things. And you can see that when you don't do things the way God says, that you just turn the whole world against you, Mr. Bush. It's fun to just be obstinate and bullheaded. but something is going to happen, you know, that you won't like. Why? Because God said so. That's just it. Now me, I'm your friend, best friend you got in this world. I'm telling you the right thing. Just for sure, I'm not going to do anything to harm you. Or I'll never advise people to harm you either. And if you're hungry, I'll feed you. And if you're thirsty, I'll give you to drink. And if you continue on in the way that you are, God will pour coals of fire on your head. It just seems that nobody has the guts to tell you the truth. You have all these other preachers that just want us to, oh, I was with Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush is the Messiah. No, you're not the Messiah. You're not even a chocolate-covered peanut. You're a human being. That's all you are. And you don't have much sense, that's for sure. But if you'll do what the Lord says, then everybody will admire you and think that you have great wisdom and understanding and knowledge, like they do me. Okay, go ahead.
Determine if the results of following the advice will be fair to the people. Make improvements for the people and give a positive solution or direction for the people.
Positive, yes. God is positive. He's not arbitrary with what he says. Everything is cut and dry. All right, then what else?
Seek counsel from those more experienced and wiser.
Yeah, don't you think God is more experienced than you?
Yes.
He created you out of like a little mud patty to him that he blew breath into. And so it's very unwise not to listen to him. Then what?
Advice is helpful only if it is consistent with God's word, God's commandments, God's standards. 12 verse 15 through 19. Both Jeroboam and Rehoboam did what was good for themselves, not what was good for the people. Rehoboam was harsh and did not listen to what the people said. Jeroboam established new places of worship to keep his people from traveling to Jerusalem, Rehoboam's capital. Both actions backfired. Rehoboam's move divided the nation, and Jeroboam turned the people from God. Good leaders put the best interest of the followers above their own.
Right, of the people, like God says for them to do. I mean, live the eternal life, not your own life. Live God's eternal life. Let God live in you and work in and through you for the people. And if you do, you're doing it for yourself as well. For the eternal, the long life, the eternal life, the life that's going to go on and on and on. All right, then what else?
Making decisions only for yourself will backfire and cause you to lose more than if you had kept the welfare of others in mind.
Yeah, some people get depressed and they start eating a lot or they start taking drugs or booze. That's doing something for yourself. This is your own thinking. No, but if you're going through trials and tribulations, and if you're depressed, there's no reason for you to be depressed because you've got eternal life. Why throw it away because of your feelings? Because of your desires or your thoughts or your opinions or your ideas. Why do you throw yourself away? Why do you self-destruct? It's obvious when people do that they don't believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you're going to waste away. Okay, then what?
This is exactly what the Old Testament states, that we're to prefer others before ourselves. If we do that, God will more than compensate us. 12 verse 20. This makes the beginning of the division of the kingdom that lasted for centuries. 10 of Israel's 12 tribes followed Jeroboam and called their new nation Israel, the northern kingdom. The other two tribes remained loyal to Rehoboam and called their nation Judah, the southern kingdom. The kingdom did not split overnight. It was already dividing as early as the days of Judges because of tribal jealousies, especially between Ephraim, the most influential tribe of the north, and Judah, the chief tribe of the south. Before the days of Saul and David, the religious center of Israel was located for the most part in the territory of Ephraim. When Solomon built the temple, he moved the religious center of Israel to Jerusalem. This eventually brought tribal rivalries to the breaking point. For more information on this, on the tribal jealousies and how they affected Israel, see Judges chapter 12, verse 1, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, and chapter 19, verse 41 through 43. 12, verse 28. All Jewish men were required to travel to the temple three times each year, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16. But Jeroboam set up his own worship center and told his people it was too much trouble to travel all the way to Jerusalem.
Too much trouble to be obedient to God. Let's all, live, a Reader's Digest type life, Wham, wham, just brick, brack, here and there. Whatever you please. No, it may seem grievous to do things the way the Lord says, but in the long run, you have eternal life. Okay, then what?
Those who obeyed Jeroboam were disobeying God. Some ideas, though practical, may include suggestions that lead you away from God.
Right. All ideas and opinions of your own are absolutely leading you away from God. Do it God's way and then you're safe. It's better to be safe than sorry. Amen?
Yeah.
It's better to be safe than save time. It's better to take time out of the day to consider everything God says and do it than it is for you to just rush out into the world without the armor of God on, because there's a lot of wickedness in that world. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Then what?
Don't let anyone talk you out of doing what is right by telling you that moral actions are not worth the effort. Do what God commands, no matter what the cost in time, energy, money, reputation, or your own resources. 12 verse 28 through 29. Calves were used as idols to symbolize fertility and strength. Pagan gods of the Canaanites were often depicted as standing on calves or bulls. Jeroboam rudely placed the golden calves in Bethel and Dan, strategic locations. According to the Lord, it was not strategic, however. Bethel was just 10 miles north of Jerusalem on the main road, enticing the citizens from the north to stop there instead of traveling the rest of the way to Jerusalem to offer their sacrifices. Dan was the northernmost city in Israel, so people living in the north, far from Jerusalem, were attracted to the convenient location. As leader of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam wanted to establish his own worship centers. Otherwise, his people would make regular trips to Jerusalem, and his authority would be undermined.
Yeah, and the people would say, the king said to do it, and so it must be right. Don't listen to people. Listen to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you say, you're a person, and we're listening to you. But I'm not telling you what what my opinion is or my ideas. I'm telling you the Word of God, because you're too, you may have not read it. And then on the other hand, you might be too lazy to read it. And so I'm telling you what he says, not me. And you can check it out for yourself, of course. Then what?
Soon the substitute religion had little in common with true faith in God. 12 verse 30. Jeroboam and his advisors did not learn from Israel's previous disaster with a golden calf. Exodus chapter 32. Perhaps they were ignorant of Scripture, or maybe they knew about the event and decided to ignore it. Study the Bible to become aware of God's rules and regulations and all his acts, things that he's done in history, and then apply these important lessons to your life. If you learn from the past mistakes of others, you will not face disaster as they did as a result of repeat performances, repeating the things that others did. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 12 verse 32 through 33. In the days of Israel's founding fathers, the city of Bethel was a symbol of commitment to God, because it was there that Jacob had rededicated himself to God. Genesis chapter 28 verse 16 through 22. But Jeroboam turned the city into Israel's chief religious center, intending it to compete with Jerusalem. Bethel's religion, however, centered on an idol, and this led to Israel's eventual downfall. Bethel developed a reputation as a wicked and idolatrous city. The prophets Hosea and Amos recognized the sins of Bethel and condemned the city for its godless ways.
A lot of people laud, Jerusalem and everything, but, God, Jesus told every one of them that they were going to, he was going to allow Jerusalem to be absolutely destroyed. And not long after Jesus' death, King Titus came roaring into the Jerusalem area and busted the walls down and bashed little Jewish babies into walls, killed mothers and opened their stomachs and pulled their babies, unborn babies, out of their stomachs and smashed them to pieces and allowed everyone to be killed. And so it doesn't make any difference if you're the chosen person of the Lord, or for that matter, if you're born again of the Spirit. There's false doctrine going around to say that you can be born again of the Spirit and just live any way that you want. No, you have to be in the body of Christ. There's only one body and there's only one bride. If you're not in the bride, in the body, in the New Jerusalem, then you're outside and God will allow you to be destroyed. Not only physically, but spiritually and eternally. Not only in this world, but for eternity, you're going to be destroyed. This is God's will. It's His plan. His will is that you do what He says, and His will is that you're saved. And He does save you, but if you let Satan sit down in you, the temple of God, and you begin living the life, your own life, or the life of Satan, then you have evacuated, you've kicked God out, you've allowed Satan to kick God out of you, and you're living his life, and you're saying that Satan is God. That's chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians. All right, and then what?
See Hosea chapter 4, verse 15 through 17, chapter 10, verse 8, and Amos chapter 5, verse 4 through 6.
All right, now that was chapter 12 of 1 Kings with the 33 verses, translation and commentary. And now let's go right into believing or receiving. You have to believe in order to receive the Holy Spirit, part 6.
Receiving the Holy Spirit, part 6, believe.
Once yes, you have to believe or receive what the Lord says. We're saved by believing in Jesus, and Jesus is the whole Word of God. So if you believe the whole Word of God, thou shalt be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. Now, believing means that you do what He says. If you believe you have to go to the water faucet to get a drink of water, then you will get the drink of water. But if you don't believe that that's where you go and you go to the sand pit, that's all you're going to get is sand. All right, go ahead.
Once you have offered yourself and are willing to be used wholly by God, you must believe in the outward filling.
Right, everything is with faith. Believe. Faith is belief. You must believe in the outward filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people believe the inward filling of the Holy Spirit because that's when you first got saved and you feel the Lord inside of you. But before you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you must believe in the outward anointing, the outward pouring out from the kingdom of heaven. When I started praying before this service, you could feel the outpouring coming down upon us before that. And then it also opens up the inward, the life in you, so that the life of Christ that's in you is able, which is mingled with your spirit, is able to increase the life of God, the life of Christ within you. Okay, then go ahead.
This also must be taken by faith rather than by feeling.
By belief, by faith, not by feeling. All right? Because I just know that when I pray that the outward anointing is going to come down and that people are going to receive the Spirit. Now, whether they, and if they believe that the Holy Spirit is provided for them in this manner, that they'll receive the Holy Spirit just like they did salvation. And just like you, just as you will when you receive healing or prosperity or any other thing, the outward pouring out the power of God does all these things and casts out devils and everything else. All right, go ahead.
If you are so willing to be used by the Lord, by God Almighty, and you believe in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, then the outward power of the Holy Spirit will be manifested upon you. Therefore, there is no need to beg for the outward filling of the Holy Spirit.
You don't have to beg for anything because God has already provided it. All you have to do is have faith to receive it, all right? some people say, I just beg God for this, or I beg God for that, or I beg... What are you begging for? You're a son of God. You don't have to beg for anything. You just have to receive what he's already done. Everything that God has provided has already been provided for us years ago. Amen? So don't beg, okay? Down, boy. Down, girl. Just receive it. Amen?
Amen.
It's there. It's by faith. Everything is by faith or belief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith in the Lord Jesus, the Word of God, to conduct your life that way, to be able to be saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit, and to cast out devils and to raise the dead, and to receive the kingdom of heaven, and to receive the anointing, the outward pouring out of the Spirit, and the more and more life within you, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Believe in these things, for have faith, and you'll be rewarded for it. You'll receive whatever, all the things that the Lord has already provided. It's a done deal. He did it already. Then what?
All you need to do is to rise up in answer to God's call. Commit yourself to the Lord, to be at his disposal at all times, and let him know. Tell him, quote, Lord, I know that you have saved my soul. You've saved me for the purpose of using me. Right now, I put all my, right now I put my all in your hands, everything that I am to be at your disposal. I also know that according to my own strength, as you said in chapter 15 of John, that I can do nothing apart from you. Therefore, I need your spirit.
I need to commit myself to you so that I can have all that I need, because you've already provided everything that I need. All right, then what?
Since I know that your spirit has already been given, has already been poured out upon all flesh, upon the earth, I'm here to receive your spirit by faith. Unquote.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Then what?
In this way, the experience of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is not a difficult matter for you to receive. As to the manner of the manifestation of the outward filling, as to the way, in other words, the manner or the way that the Holy Spirit is manifested on the outward filling, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to bear full responsibility to manifest himself in whatever way he wants. Some people look at others the way they received it, and they feel that that's the way that they have to receive it as well. Outward manifestations.
No, you don't go by what somebody else got. Let the Holy Spirit give you what he's got. Amen?
Amen.
And the manner that he was. Sometimes you might get the baptism of the Holy Spirit on a bus. Sometimes you might get it on a plane with a bunch of people watching. Sometimes it'll be in the privacy of your own home. Sometimes it'll be by the river. Sometimes by the ocean, by the out in the desert. Who knows? Whatever the Holy Spirit, let him do it. If you have faith right now, receive it wherever you are, wherever you're at right now. Then what?
So therefore, what they do is they're admiring other people's outward manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and they insist, they say, that they must receive it that way.
Or, you know, you may admire the way somebody's preaching, or you may admire the way that somebody's teaching. Why don't you let the Lord preach through you or teach you the way he wants to? Rather than admire somebody else, admire the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Admire his spirit that can also can do all kinds of marvelous things through you if you've committed yourself entirely or wholly unto him. Wholly. All right?
Yes.
Why be jealous of somebody or admire somebody else when God wants to use you as well? Okay, then what?
If somebody received it, they definitely think that they have to speak in tongues, and that they will indeed.
Yeah, I mean, this is just, even if you speak, I spoke in tongues when I received the Holy Spirit, then what?
Some feel that they will have to laugh or cry as others do many times a day.
It's very hard for, maybe once or twice in my whole Christian life, I have wept, and that was when the Lord saved me, when the Spirit of life entered into me. It was the tears, though, of joy. They just kept pouring out of me as though they were water faucets. I thought I was actually bleeding to death through the eyes. And I'd look at the tear, I'd wipe my tears, And it was not blood, and I was very happy about that. But many times I've laughed, and when the Holy Spirit would come down, I'd start laughing like I couldn't believe. Holy laughter, but, you know, let God, it was the Lord doing it. I'd never seen anybody else do that. It was just the Lord doing it. All right, so I had no one to admire because really there wasn't anybody around that the Holy Spirit was using for me to admire until I met Sue. Then what?
So if that's the case, what they really desire is not to have the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They just really desire to be speaking in tongues or to be crying out or laughing or some other manifestation.
Yeah, don't desire any of this stuff. Just desire to let the Lord do whatever He will with you. Amen?
Amen.
Don't desire to cry. Don't desire to laugh. I mean, you're not impressing anybody. I see people, you know, it seems as though they're faking the things that they're doing, trying to let people believe that they're spiritual. But if I'm not feeling it, I don't believe they are either. Okay? If the Spirit comes down upon me so strong that I'm laughing, I always see other people laughing around too, because it's just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that's anointing everybody in the whole room. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing to do with me. It's what the Lord, Holy Spirit is doing. Okay, then what?
They don't really desire the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a practical way. Others insist not to cry or laugh. There's people that don't believe that at all.
Yeah, but what if the Holy Spirit wants to anoint you and give you so much joy that you start laughing? And you say, you know, you've got a pact with yourself. I'm not going to laugh. I'm not going to weep. I'm not going to speak in tongues, because it's... Some people say that's of the devil, but the Bible doesn't say that. Oh, you better watch it. You come close, or you possibly are blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit have His way with you. All right, then what?
They don't believe in speaking in tongues, or they're afraid of being possessed by some kind of a devil or demon possessed. So all these are primarily a wrong concept. If you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues, it certainly does not mean that you're going to speak in tongues.
All the time. But it's just the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, or the manifestation that you have received the Holy Spirit, that you speak in tongues at least at one time. Then what?
You may weep and cry, or you might get holy laughter, and that's true. Some people do, and some people don't. I know that I spoke in tongues, and I was so happy, and there were tears coming out of my eyes at the same time. But what is wrong is that you insist that the Holy Spirit comes to you the way that it has happened to other people. And this insistence will many times limit the free working of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it'll limit your ability to be able to receive the Holy Spirit. There's so many people that have testimonies of how they receive the Holy Spirit. Don't go by that. Just let the Holy Spirit, just receive it by faith, the way, whatever way it is that the Lord wants to give it to you, that the Holy Spirit wants to give it to you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
The Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself the way He wants to manifest Himself. Therefore, while you are experiencing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you need to give complete freedom to the Holy Spirit. You're not to insist upon anything, and you're not to refuse anything that He gives you. So bottom line now, the filling of the Holy Spirit within and without is a magnificent, incredible, and glorious possession, a precious possession, a blessing that we are able to have in the New Testament. It is also a fulfillment of the powerful blessing promised to Abraham by the Almighty God in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. So the thing that we really want, we, on one hand, must empty ourselves more and more, that the Holy Spirit, together with the fullness of the Godhead bodily, may fill you up from within, thereby enabling you to live out the glorious life, or the image and the likeness, to be like the Almighty God, to be able to live out God's life, His powerful and glorious life of God. On the other hand, you need to give yourself more to the Lord, to be used by Him, enabling the Holy Spirit to do His work. And let the Lord do what He will, so that the Holy Spirit will descend upon you richly, giving you power and all the gifts mentioned in the New Testament. Then you can serve God, deal with God's enemy, the devil, and all the demons in the world, the Antichrist system, temptation, and everything else, and bring in, establish the kingdom of God right here on earth.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. You've heard chapter 12 with his 33 verses of 1 Kings and the translation and the commentary and also part 6 of Receiving the Holy Spirit. So until tomorrow, where we're going to be doing chapter 13 of 1 Kings, which I've already done, but you haven't heard it yet, and also part 7 of Receiving the Holy Spirit, or it may be part 1 of being filled with the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Meditate on all these things, and until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.